You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey Josh, you haven't done an intro for a while. Why don't you do an intro for us? That's right, you're listening to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that survived Black Friday and is bringing a brand new, super awesome show to you. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Cody.
Hey, we got through the intro. All right.
We
have a great show for you this week. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
I mean, I have a bunch. I checked out a lot of stuff.
Go for it.
Oh, man. Where to start?
The beginning is nice.
Yeah.
Well, a long time ago, in 1984.
Okay. Too far. Fast forward.
I saw Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Oh,
Ralph
yeah.
Breaks
oh.
the Internet.
Okay, how was it?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
It was mildly disappointing, honestly.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of the syndrome of the last few Disney films sequels where it's basically the first movie with different set pieces. There's a lot of very similar themes.
Hmm.
And then this one almost had like a Ready Player One fever pitch of like, hey, look at this reference. Hey, look at this reference.
I was kind of afraid that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And pretty much the stuff you saw with the Disney princesses in the trailer is almost their entire thing.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's a shame. You can't let them take over the whole movie. They were so good about it in the first movie, though, leaving all the references were in the first act, and then they told their own story from there.
And that's what they needed to do. Did they not do that with this one?
They did, but it was more... I was more like a lot of background stuff, like Facebook, Twitter.
Oh, no, it's getting into emoji movie territory.
I was afraid of it when I was going into it, that it was going to be something kind of like that.
Was Patrick Stewart the poop emoji?
No.
Let me remind you all,
yeah,
that was in a movie that was on the big screens where Patrick Stewart was a poop.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
And it made a lot of money.
Yes, it did.
Though I heard it's very bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty much resoundingly hated, but still made a bajillion dollars.
Just a ton of money. So anyway, with this movie, I don't know anything about it other than the premise, but I heard that Sonic the Hedgehog has a halfway moderate-sized role in this as like the guy that explains the internet to people.
Huh.
It's real short.
Okay.
But he's like standing next to Ralph when the Wi-Fi gets hooked up. And like, they're like, Wi-Fi, what kind of game is that? Oh, and Sonic's like, it's Wi-Fi. It's the internet. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of chuckling to myself like, of course, Sonic is the expert on the internet.
You got to go fast.
No.
Also, he's a million memes.
It's how he finds questionable pictures of all his friends.
And himself.
And himself.
Yes. Yes.
Honestly,
yes.
There aren't as many video game references in this one. Hmm. Like, it's mostly like internet stuff.
Well, it is.
Yeah. That's the focus this time, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ralph talks about tappers a lot. I think he has a drinking problem.
Okay.
And there's like a whole subplot they don't even touch.
Really?
What's that? It's like brought up and then it's not visited again until like the end of the movie.
Okay.
Huh.
When...
Is this a spoiler?
Not really.
Okay, well then go.
So the whole reason they have to go to the internet is because the steering wheel on the Sugar Rush game broke.
Mm.
And so it's either get a replacement part for the game or it's going to get unplugged forever.
Okay.
In the meantime, the arcade owner unplugs the machine, so all the game characters from Sugar Rush have to come to Game Central or whatever, the inside of the surge protector.
Yeah, the surge protector.
And,
sure.
You know, and they get housed with a bunch of other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so Felix and Sergeant...
Calhoun,
yeah. Mm-hmm. They've been married for 6 years, decide they're going to... house all of the Sugar Rush racers.
Oh, geez.
Like
okay.
all 15 of
they,
them.
They adopt all of them.
They do. They do.
They're all kids, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they adopt them as their little surrogate kids. And then it's talked about how they're just wild and rabid children, and they're destroying Felix's apartment to the point where he goes to Tappers with Ralph and chugs a lot of root beer. But then it's not touched on for the rest of the movie until the very end when you see Felix sitting in the stands of Sugar Rush watching them race and they're all being super polite and well behaved. It's never touched on.
So something happened to fix the problem and we don't know what it is.
No, unless they're going to release like a mini movie for the Blu-ray or something, kind of like the like they did for Incredibles 2 for Edna babysitting Jack-Jack.
Which should have been in the movie. There wasn't enough Edna in the movie.
I know, right?
That was that's the biggest fault of that movie.
I mean, I don't know, man. But then the movie just kind of falls short for me, and it was a little disappointing. I won't say it was a bad movie, but it also wasn't really...
It wasn't as good as the first.
Oh, of course
not. It wasn't groundbreaking. It didn't do anything new with the concept or anything.
No. And there's a lot of, like, almost memes, but not really. Like, there's a whole point where, like, Ralph stumbles into a room that's just all comments on these videos and stuff that he's been making.
How cringy does it get? Is it cringy?
I wouldn't know. No. But then, like, yes, the character who runs this video sharing site, whatever, that Ralph's been working for on the internet, it's like, you know, I should have warned you, first rule of the internet is don't read the comments.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So it's that caliber of joke then. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when it was funny to see stuff from the internet in real life.
And it's not.
And like, oh, I remember that from the online. And now it's just like, oh, no, please keep that where it belongs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't very good.
I mean, in college, I had a button with like the awesome face.
Oh, yeah.
Like emoji thing on it on my bag. Like, I'm like, look, it's like from the internet, but I've manifested it in reality.
Oh, man, the old rage face memes.
Yeah, and now it's just like, oh, don't know.
Honestly, I don't think people really know the old memes anymore. The original memes.
The old memes, the old ones.
I was there when they were written.
See, you say that, and it might flash to the that scene in Star Wars where they're like flying into like the Death Star or whatever, and the guy says, you know, it's an old code, but it checks out. It's an old meme, but it checks out, sir.
Actually, I have that saved on my phone.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things to put in comments.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
More internet culture.
Yep.
I was there when they were inscribed on the boards of 4chan before that was a mess.
Before the reckoning.
Yeah.
Before the dark times.
Before the dark times.
Before the empire.
Okay, so other than Ralph being, you know, lackluster, what else did you check out?
I watched Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Oh, how is it?
It's actually not bad.
I've been wanting to see
it. Yeah, I've been wanting to see that as well.
It's surprisingly good and entertaining.
Yeah.
I've heard.
Man, they dog on DC movies, like, super hard.
Good. Like, they need it.
Like, on their own stuff. I was like, man. That's, and there are so many Marvel references. It's almost like a love letter to Marvel movies.
Really?
Stan Lee even shows up.
Oh, I knew Stan Lee was going to show up. Yeah.
He's in it.
That was a bit part.
He's like, I'm here for my subtle cameo. I'm glad it wasn't his last film.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But I'm sad Venom was.
Avengers 4.
Yeah, they filmed his cameo
right.
Yeah. Depending on who you talk to, he's filmed the next 20.
What?
I saw someone online had come up with some crazy number. Like, he's filmed enough, like, little bits and pieces that they could just, like, digitally insert here and there that he can be in the next 20 films if they wanted to.
I mean, if they, like, use, like, his YouTube rants and stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, Teen Titans Go to the Movies is surprisingly good. There are some callbacks to other episodes of Teen Titans Go.
Okay.
Not, like, enough. Like, at one point, like, Deathstroke's yelling at them. Well, Slade.
And that's Will Arnett, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Or Deadpool, if you're the Teen Titans.
Oh, they call him Deadpool in that?
Yeah, he's like, I'm not Deadpool. I came out first. They copied me.
And he's not wrong.
He's not. There's a lot of self-aware humor in there.
Cool.
Like that. Nicolas Cage is the voice of Superman.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good perfect. That's a good reference.
Yeah.
Because the old
Superman Lives.
Superman
the
Lives
movie that never got made.
Yeah.
Where he did a costume test.
He should have been Superman in a Superman movie.
He should have.
He really should have.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Even if it turned out bad, it'd still be great.
Nicolas Cage, of course.
Yeah,
but he's the voice of Superman. I was like, oh, that is the best. they're fighting Slade and he's like, what are you going to do, annoy me with your waffles or something? And, like, Cyborg's holding up waffles, and he's like, oh. And he, like, puts them down. Oh, man. There's some parts that get real dark.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm like, ooh, this is technically a kid's movie.
Yeah, like, I know the main thrust of the movie is, like, a lot of the adult superheroes from the DC, like, get mind-controlled or something.
Not is that really. Right? I mean, there is a part like that. But
there's a part like that? Okay.
But most of it is they're busy making superhero films.
Oh, okay.
And so, and Robin gets it in his head, the measure of a great superhero is having a movie made about them.
Ah, okay. Okay, that's clever.
Yeah. There, right. There's a poster on the wall of a theater. It says, like, Batman versus Joker, Yawn of Justice.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like,
wow, that is good. That is a good one. Yeah.
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 But, no, but there's a part where, like, they decide the way to get a superhero movie made is to make sure to know whether superheroes are ever created. So they go back in time and mess with various superheroes' origin stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they save the Wayne family from the alley.
Oh, jeez.
And then they come back to the future and like the whole world's overrun with supervillains and it's all wrecked. They're like, well, we got to fix that. And they push the Waynes into the alley. And
oh,
then you
my God.
And then you see two bright flashes.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And like Robin doing like a thumbs up. I was like, what?
Whoa. Okay, I really want to see it now. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. But no, it's a decent, it's a surprisingly decent movie.
Yeah.
Balloon Man is in it. And they're like, yeah, I wish that we could say this is a joke character, but he's a real character.
Well, that's almost a joke taken from the Lego Batman movie where like the
Condiment King.
And Condiment King and Kite Man, and they at one point they say,
you're making those up.
These are real.
You can
Wikipedia
it.
Yeah.
Oh man, but yeah, it's actually surprisingly good, and I was actually not disappointed. And I was like, man, okay.
I hope Lego Movie 2 is good, but I'm kind of worried about that one. Just
I am a little worried.
I don't know what it is. Just like the trailers and stuff I've seen for it are just kind of like, eh.
What else can be said other than do they go to Duplo Land? Is that what's going on?
I think the Duplo War is what makes the post-apocalyptic Mad Max-esque world they're running around in.
Okay.
I think it's going to be more references to that than actually seeing it.
And there's a lot of hints of that it's going to be the girl Legos.
Yeah, the Lego friends line.
Like they're in space and the one guy's like, you don't want to go to the
Sistar system. Yeah.
So it's going to be a big ad for girl Legos.
Well, the first one was a big ad for boy Legos.
Yeah.
So.
Or just Legos.
Or Legos in general, because Legos shouldn't be gendered.
Exactly. Also,
but they did. They did it.
I hate the minifigs in those lines. They just look cheap.
They could have just used
regular
minifigs for those.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make like fairies and elves and other stuff, okay, fine.
Everybody likes dragons.
Exactly. The castle sets were some of my favorite stuff growing up.
Now they don't do just generic.
No,
games.
They're all no. Now they're all
movie tie-in.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah, movie tie-ins or
city.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of the city pieces are really cool. But
oh, sure, yeah.
If they came out with a new line of pirate Legos,
I'd probably
buy a bunch of them.
I'd lose my mind.
Yeah,
that was my favorite kind.
The Viking one was really good. The castles one was great. Man, I miss old Legos.
Oh, me too.
Anyway, what was I talking about?
I miss old Lego prices.
Right. Right.
Yeah, they were always expensive.
They were, but like, you know, adjust for inflation.
Yeah.
I mean, we can ask Balloon Man.
Or the seventh image in any Google image search.
Oh, no. Bad. That was, no.
So, anyway. Right.
Hey, gonna cut you off there for just a second.
Yep.
Because I have to check it out. Cody and Samantha, I think you guys also saw this.
And then we'll come back around.
And then we'll roll back around to you because I know you have a ton. Mystery Science Theater. Did you guys do the Gauntlet?
No. Not all of it. We've watched two of them. Yeah, we watched Mac and Me and Atlantic Rim.
Okay, I'm through the first four. I'm through four out of six. Atlantic Rim and Mac and Me are probably the two best so far.
Man, I remember when we went to Bad Movie Night and we watched Atlantic Rim.
That movie is garbage.
Oh, it's garbage.
It is so bad.
It's so bad.
Oh, yeah. And, like, no one is likable in that movie.
No.
Like, the hero is the worst character.
The cockpit sets of the robots
are... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they just put a bunch of stuff together.
Now, my favorite set is the brig that they lock the main character in.
It's just a closet. It's just a supply closet that they cleared out.
Yeah.
Oh man, so bad. And like the advanced control harness that they put on their heads, and it's just like a headband that they glued some stuff to.
It's like a pair of sunglasses that they took the sunglass part off, and it's just the top.
Yep, and it just sits on their forehead. Oh. And Mac and Me. Oh, man. I hadn't watched Mac and Me in years.
I've never actually seen it all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces.
Super bad.
I've only seen the bits that are on Conan.
Yeah. And you know what? That happens pretty early on in the movie. That kid falls off that cliff pretty early.
Yeah.
I forgot the last act of that movie, you know, with the kid.
It is wild.
Yeah. That movie goes. You want to talk about a kid's movie that goes places? Watch Mac and Me. Oh my gosh. It was wild. But the other two, the Land That Time Forgot, which was this weird 70s movie about time travel, I think, that was like, it was edited to the point where it was incoherent. Like,
wow.
It made zero sense. Yeah, I couldn't.
It felt like they cut a lot of stuff out of Mac and Me.
There was a bit cut out of Mac and Me. Yeah, there's a bit cut out of all of them. But yeah, Mac and Me had a couple. It wasn't as noticeable. The Land That Time Forgot was just, yeah. And what was the third one?
Yeah, you were talking about it before the show. You said it was real, real bad. Worst thing you'd seen in years.
Well, that's Atlantic Rim.
No, that's something else.
But it's all of them are like a tier above the last season, I think. I think they've really figured it out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's quality over quantity this year.
Yeah. Even the host segments have been better, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the host segments have been great. There's a good continuity between, like, it's like a storyline going through from one to the other.
But the storyline in the first season was not good, and it had no payoff.
It had no payoff. Oh, the day time ended. That's the one.
The day that time ended, yeah.
Yeah. I like that they brought back Dr. Eckhart, or Dr. Earhart.
Did they?
From the first, yeah. Oh, yeah, you haven't gotten there yet. One of the guest segments, one of the in-between segments, a ship docks with at Deep 13 or whatever on the moon.
Moon 13.
And it's Dr. Earhart
from
the first season.
Who's been missing ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he comes back with a deeper voice. He comes back with his old Tom Servo voice from the first season. He says, yeah, I took off to space and I, you know, hooked up with these space hippies and I mellowed out. And yeah, but he has like the really tall, like eraser head hair and like, oh yeah,
that's
great.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a really cool bit of continuity.
You saw the one where Frank goes to Second Banana Heaven the other day. Was it Torgo takes him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The one I'm forgetting is Lords of the Deep. It's Yeah, this really bad one about like these sea monsters that attack a underwater like basically Sea Lab 2021. Yeah, it's basically Sea Lab 2021 with a weird manta ray monster. But are they really monsters or is man the real monster? Who knows? But
it's man.
It's pretty nice.
Pretty nice. So the last two, the ones that I haven't gotten to are Killer Fish, which I don't know much about, and Ator the Fighting Eagle, which I have seen, and it is a wonderful, amazing, awful Beastmaster knockoff.
I've heard it's a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
Most of the review I read said that either Mac and Me or that one is the best one.
Okay. Okay. It's going to have to do a lot to like beat Mac and Me, but yeah. No, I'm thoroughly enjoying
it. Yeah, the riff pacing has been better.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything is better, and I hope they get another season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they will. They absolutely will. And you know what? I'd be cool with them doing another 6-episode season, you know?
Yeah, if it's this good, yeah.
If it's good, yeah.
I still want to do a Jonah Heston cosplay.
Oh, that would be cool.
Do you want to talk about that Bigfoot podcast?
Sure, we could. We've been listening to a podcast about Bigfoot that's pretty good.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Cool, yeah.
It's called Wild Thing. And it's by...
Oh, so it's not about Charlie Sheen?
No.
I got that reference. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Very good.
Was she a former NPR journalist or something?
I think so,
yeah. Yeah, she's a former, like, serious journalist who finds out that she's cousins with one of the biggest big-time Bigfoot researchers there ever was.
Really?
I was going to say she was like cousin to Bigfoot.
No.
Well, maybe.
So she goes down this rabbit hole of Bigfoot-dom.
Wow.
And takes the listener along with it. And you learn all about Bigfoot and that community and that world.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a really good show.
That's cool.
That I would recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're into cryptids or just want to know more about Bigfoot culture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to get into cryptids a little more, but like I've never really known like where to kind of, you know, stick my toe in and not go off the deep end.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a good place
to go. Okay, cool.
Because
yeah.
She remains very level-headed and journalistic about it.
Okay, good. Cool. Yeah, I will definitely have to download an episode or two of that and check that out. Has it been running for very long, or is it a fairly new show?
There's like 5 or 6 episodes.
Oh, okay. All right. Is it an ongoing thing, or is it going to be one of those prestige
it's still,
format kind of things?
I think they have a set ending because they have an analysis of some fibers that they're waiting for the results on.
Oh, okay.
And she said on the last episode they're going to reveal what the results were. So there's a finite end to it.
Okay.
I just don't know where it is.
Okay. Oh, right on. Well, that sounds cool. Yep, definitely have to check that out. Hey, Josh, give me one more thing.
Oh, man.
Make it a good one. Putting you on the spot.
A good one, huh?
Yeah, you got to do a good.
We could talk Fallout 76, though, also.
I'm watching this. I tell you, current anime is getting real weird.
Anime is real weird, guys.
Well, I know, but there's like a obsession right now with Western fantasy animes.
Anime, or as we know it in the States, Japanimation.
Like with like Goblin Slayer and all kinds of other stuff. Well, another one's come out called That Time I Was Reincarnated as a Slime.
I've heard that's very good.
It's interesting. So, it's weird. So, this guy in Japan, he's a businessman.
Let me guess how it goes. Does he turn into a slime?
Yes.
Nailed it.
But after he's stabbed in the street and dies and gets reincarnated in a fantasy world.
Oh, nice.
As a little Dragon Quest-esque little slime guy.
Oh, right on.
And he meets a dragon in a cave. And somehow...
He has shape-shifting powers also.
Well, yes, because he eats a bunch of monsters and acquires a whole bunch of skills from these different creatures.
So he becomes like a blue mage slime, kind of.
He basically becomes a god. There's nothing he can't do.
Oh, awesome.
It gets a bit bonkers until the point where he takes on this mimic skill, and then he, ingest or absorbs a person and able to take a human form. But that's not till like, I don't know, like 6 episodes into the thing.
Wow.
There's just all kinds of stuff. It's different.
Yeah.
I've heard it's kind of slow paced, but it pays off.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. And he's a bit pervy. And it's an anime. Exactly. I mean, I've been watching. It's different. It's interesting. And I just finished JoJo Diamond is Unbreakable.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Man, Kira is weird.
Oh, yeah.
You need to watch JoJo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evil David Bowie is a weird dude.
He's a weird dude. Yep. Leave it right there.
Yeah.
Yep. Regular David Bowie was a weird dude.
Like some of the other stands, like they get like Stray Cat and Cheap Trick. Man, Cheap Trick was, that was a ride.
Yeah.
Gonna take you for a ride.
That time I got reincarnated as a slime. There's a lot of like almost like video game references, but not.
Well, it's kind of like a video game fantasy world.
Yeah, kind of, but it's more like a video game for him versus everyone else that lives in that world. It's kind of like their lives.
Like a video game.
I mean, yeah.
So like the hero Yoshihiku.
Yeah.
Like Dragon Quest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they make Dragon Quest video game jokes in a like a landscape that is actually kind of lived in.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And there's like this whole thing where like monsters don't have names.
Okay.
And then he starts naming monsters, and then that causes them to evolve.
Oh, nice.
And get, like, stronger or better or smarter or whatever.
Nice.
Like, he, like, runs into, like, this whole village of goblins and becomes their lord or king or God or whatever. And he ends up naming all of them. And they like evolve and change and
right on.
It's interesting. It's different. Mm-hmm. And because it's like happening currently in Japan right now, like I've been watching it subtitled. I can't imagine what they're going to do when they get English voice actors. it's going to get goofy.
Oh, they'll probably get like Johnny Young Bosch or someone
you'll
like that.
You'll get the
in
same
there.
Six people they always
they
do.
Always
right, right.
They'll get Yuri Lowenthal and they'll get like
Scott Bloom. Bruce,
Scott Bloom. Yeah, they'll get a ton of them.
Christina V and yeah. Christine Cabanos.
Kerry Walgren does a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her name? Katie Vogt or whatever her name is.
Yeah. All right. So and before we start just naming off every voice actor we know, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
Mark Hamill.
3, 2, 1. We're back. That was Tank from Cowboy Bebop, the theme song to Cowboy Bebop.
Awesome.
One of my favorite animes.
Yeah, it's real, real good.
Also, it's like it's an anime that's not super anime-y.
No, not at all.
It's a show that I've heard of.
It was on Adult Swim all that time and never even once.
Not even once.
Wow.
Like they played it over and over and over again forever.
At this point, it's almost a point of pride that I have not seen Cowboy Bebop because I've managed to avoid it for these long 32 years. And like,
you're really just doing yourself a disservice and probably,
you know what? Probably
should just be really embarrassed.
Probably,
oh,
but you
wow.
know what?
Where's this rage coming from?
Hey, you know what? I'm getting old and crotchety, so I'm going to dig in. I'm going to dig deeper into it. Lean hard into the crotchetiness.
I haven't seen all of the episodes of Cowboy Bebop. But
Philistine!
I've definitely seen a lot of them.
I know the guy looks like Keanu Reeves, and there's like...
Eh.
Or Stew Pickles.
Yeah, okay, sure. Now that's a reference I know. Why do I know Rugrats and not Cowboy Bebop?
I don't know. Rugrats is bad.
It's not a good show. Although it's one of the few shows that has that like featured like prominent like Jewish characters and stuff. Like
been a while since I've watched it.
Rugrats is good for kids, but I've gone back and watched it and was like, oh.
Some of the parent stuff is all right.
Yeah.
Like, you go back, like, you
there's,
watch it
there's,
for the...
There's some references in there that went over my head as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not enough to make it worth watching.
Yeah.
And you get real sick of, like, oh, they said a word wrong.
Yeah, that's...
They said potty.
Yeah. Anyway, why do we play that song?
Oh, we're not going to talk about Rugrats some more?
We could. I mean, hey, we could talk about Rugrats some more, you know.
We played the Cowboy Bebop theme song because Netflix is making a live-action Cowboy Bebop show. Because I called it, anime adaptations are the thing.
You did call it. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to give you that one. Yeah, you definitely did.
My thing is, as nervous as I am about it, if they do it, it could be easily done right. Because it could basically be like another Firefly type of show.
It could also be the Death Note Netflix movie.
Yeah, but there isn't as much fantastical stuff in Cowboy Bebop.
Space?
Yeah, which is easy to do.
It's pretty it's pretty grounded for a space anime, okay. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I did know that, yeah.
Even like their pseudoscience stuff is like, okay, that somewhat sounds believable.
Yeah.
It's like, take everything that you think you know about anime or assume about an anime, and it probably doesn't apply to Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
No, not really at all.
Yeah, everything I've heard about it, I'm playing dumb for the radio. I have heard a little bit about. I at least know the concept of the
Man,
show.
I love
a
the
bit,
movie.
So,
the movie was fantastic.
I never saw it.
Yeah, Stairway to Heaven, or just Cowboy Bebop the movie in America. Mm. It's really really good. It's basically a long version of an episode.
Which I mean, what more would you want?
Exactly.
All right. Hey, for our listeners, could someone in like a minute explain what Cowboy Bebop is?
I got it. Sure. So, Cowboy Bebop, other than... Cowboy Robot. Cowboy Bebop is an anime... Actually, I don't even think it was even a manga first. It was just an anime. Manga came later. About a group of bounty hunters. And they call them cowboys.
Space bounty hunters.
Yeah, space bounty hunters. Main characters are Spike, Jet, Faye, Edward, and a dog named Ayn.
Mm-hmm.
He was a super smart corgi and started all the nerds wanting corgis. So It's so good. And most of it is, there is no real overarching story.
It's pretty episodic, and they just have different bounty hunting related space adventures.
Or some that aren't bounty hunting adventures at all.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mushroom Samba.
Oh, okay.
one of the, Edward, the tech kid, brings home a bag full of mushrooms, and they turn out, and they eat them, and they turn out to be special mushrooms.
Ah, okay. Well,
I have seen that episode.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, so they're doing a live action series of this, and you say it could work?
It could work.
Okay.
Yeah, it could work. The biggest things they really need to hit on is like the interpersonal relationships and the music. Music is a huge part of the show.
That is kind of the one downside I've heard about this. The original, the guy who did the original score and the original music for the show is not going to be attached to this. So I don't know if that means they're going to be able to use any of the music from the original show in this.
That sucks because there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I think it could be good, but I also ask... Why?
Because it's an anime staple and it has name recognition.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you, but just to be devil's advocate, why anything?
I mean,
why turn Marvel comic book characters into movies?
True.
Why are we readapting, everything over and over again? I mean,
but the anime is perfectly good, and like I think a transformation of medium isn't going to do it any favors.
But then again, you have someone like me who is a crotchety old man who doesn't like anime, where I'll watch the first episode of this live action thing, and who knows, maybe I'll watch it and go, huh, that could be better.
That could be better animated, and it probably will
be. And I'll
be.
Try the anime at that point. Why not? So, I mean, there is crossover. Like, you can get,
oh, yeah,
people that know the show by the live action first and then find it later on.
That's happened to me before on other various projects where
I'd see, me too.
I played when I played The Wolf Among Us, it got me interested in the Fables comics.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See? Same kind of thing.
Exactly.
Well, I'm gonna be crotchety about it and just say, watch the anime, dummies.
Oh, Cody. man, it's so good though. And I love how it's like a living universe. Like, they don't really explain anything to you.
See, that's good. Yeah. That's like a Fifth Element sort of situation.
Yeah.
I mean, not as fantastical as Fifth Element, but like, that's...
Yeah, it's just a living world that already has an established history.
I still
history.
Can't believe you haven't watched any of this, because...
Okay, this coming from the guy that we have a whole show dedicated to movies
that's
you haven't
true.
Seen.
But, like, other than it being an anime, it is so up your alley, I feel like.
It probably is. It probably really is. Like, I've heard some of the music, that smooth jazz kind of stuff is actually, well, not even smooth jazz, just jazz in general, is pretty cool.
The, so much jazz.
The look it, looks pretty interesting.
And
I
it's
just,
cool sci-fi. Like,
I've just never seen it, and at this point, it's too late.
It's okay, dog. I got your back. I have the whole series. I've got your back.
All right, so hey.
It's on Hulu. You can watch the whole thing on Hulu.
Yeah. Anyway, talking about anime and Netflix and things, here's another thing I can't talk a whole lot about. Evangelion, tell me about that. It's giant robots, right?
Kind of. I mean, basically.
Going from one anime spectrum to the other.
Yeah.
Like,
but just as important, just as influential of an anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that
maybe...
creator's name? Anno? Is that his name? Hideki Anno or something like that?
Yeah.
I know, I'm playing dumb. I know a little bit about what this thing is. Because
he directed Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, that's right, with that weird floppy googly-eyed
and
proto-Godzilla.
There are some elements in that movie that are obviously inspired from his works
Genesis. Sure. Anyway, Netflix is getting the entire run of that original series.
Which is kind of a big deal because it hasn't been available in America, even on DVD, for several years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen a DVD for it in a long time.
Yeah.
I used to see them all the time, like at Sam Goody and FYE, like for super expensive prices, but...
I just know it for that one meme about...
Get
in the robot, Shinji.
It's probably my favorite anime, so...
A lot of giant robot animes that come after, they pull from either one of two houses.
Gundam or...
Yes, or Neon Genesis. Because they are so separate from each other. Where Gundam is more realistic, Neon Genesis is this... buck wild.
Okay, so I understand that you're not, that this is almost an impossible task, but like I asked you about the Cowboy Bebop, in like 1 minute, can you give the listener like base level, what is the show? What is Neon Genesis Evangelion without like digging in?
Oh,
it's,
man.
It's difficult. Yeah. It's going to be tough.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Because
but, what is it, like the post-apocalypse?
Sort of. Kind humanity's of? Rebuilt after a cataclysmic event of either space or interdimensional beings. I can't remember exactly. It's been so long since I've watched it. Called Angels.
And but not those angels.
Not the good angels. No, these are bad angels. They're big kaiju monsters.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're coming back.
Yeah, and they destroyed the world before. And then in the time, Earth has built defenses. It's almost like a Pacific Rim.
Yeah, that's actually a very apt comparison. Sure.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's not the war against the giant robots and the giant monsters is like... it's like almost secondary to like the interpersonal, like,
oh yeah.
Stuff. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
And it gets real weird later on.
That's what I hear.
And the problem is there are so many offshoots of it and retellings, and it's really hard to keep everything straight. I can't tell you how many different movies and everything that is tied to this project. It is.
Well, I mean, basically there's the 26 episodes of the TV show, and then there's two movies. That's the whole original series.
Yeah, but then there's, over the years in Japan, there have been other things that have gone like to theaters.
There's the remake movies.
Yeah.
And there's three of those out right now, and they're forever working on the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and basically you are tied into your robot through like a mental
thing.
Synchronization thing,
Yep. And so when the robot feels pain, you feel pain.
Okay, so that's interesting way. Well, that is a very Pacific Rim kind of thing. It almost sounds like
Del
Toro just basically looked at that and went, oh, hey, I can do that.
Also, the robot's not really technically a robot in the traditional sense.
Yeah, interesting. Well, anyway, it's cool that Netflix is getting the series so that it's available for a wider
Everyone else audience. Can get messed up in the head.
All right, so let's round out the Netflix talk. I guess Netflix is also doing, is it a series or is it a bunch of movies
based I think they're separate series from what I've read.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, there's not a lot of information other than these projects are coming. They are doing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I'm assuming it'll be based more on the book.
Which is a tale that hasn't been told enough times.
Yeah. Right. They're doing Matilda.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
Matilda needs an it's time for a Matilda update, I think.
Yeah, it hasn't been done to death.
I mean, listen,
like
I like Mara Wilson as much as anybody else, but like it's time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, put her in it. Let her voice somebody in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really love
she's
that.
She's great.
I love
she's
that.
She's
I love,
pretty great.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Matilda
BFG.
The BFG, the Big Friendly Giant or whatever.
Which is weird because that was just made into a movie like a year and a half ago.
Exactly.
By Spielberg, no less.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some well-done Roald Dahl animated. Yeah. It hasn't really been animated.
Yeah, it really hasn't.
I mean, the thing is, it hasn't been animated, and everything we've gotten has been movies. So I feel like maybe they could tell a more... broader scope of a story and maybe bring in more elements from the books to a series.
Yeah. I would actually really like to see an adaptation of the sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy that book almost as much, if not more, than the original Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Or the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The whole concept of like being a negative age. Like there's a segment where like the four grandparents like start de-aging, and they're like, at one point they're like, hey, we're 20, it's great, and they start aging backwards further and further until they're negative numbers. And as a kid, that freaked me the hell out.
Oh man, that's like Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if they match the art style that a lot of the books have. They have kind of a unified, like the same person must have illustrated all of them, because they have a unified look. It'd be cool if they matched that, but I bet they don't.
It would be cool if they matched it, but I don't know how well it would translate into moving, like, animation.
A moving medium.
That's true, because it's very sketch, kind of has a really sketchy, loose...
Well, Here's the thing. Like, a lot of, like, the Netflix animated, like, series they've been putting out here lately, they've been, a lot of the studios they've been going with have been very good. Like, the studio that did Hildy made it look almost...
Hilda.
Yeah, it looks almost exactly like the graphic novels.
Yeah. Hilda's great, too. I've watched a couple episodes of it. It's so adorable, and I really good. And you're right, their animation has gotten better. I mean, She-Ra looks pretty good.
Yeah, She-Ra's really good. And of course, that was DreamWorks that did that one.
I've talked about this on here before, but the Peabody and Sherman show.
Yeah, that one's Netflix, really good.
It has a really good look to it.
Yeah, I like it too. And then you get like the other studios that did like the Voltron and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's DreamWorks too. Yeah.
It was.
The Captain Underpants cartoon that is on Netflix.
Does it look good?
It looks, it's like a... almost like 2.5D. It's almost like a flat three-dimensional. It's like a flat three-dimensional.
Yeah, it's
almost...
like they took the movie they did and just kind of...
Yeah.
But there are a lot of animated series on Netflix that do look like hot garbage.
Well,
the Magic School Bus remake, was bad.
That's what I've heard.
It did look rough. I haven't gotten into it yet.
So it could go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like somebody at Netflix recognizes... like whimsical art, and I think that they could pull it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Magic School Bus reboot was fun to watch for an episode, but after that you're like, okay, this is for children. Like,
well, sure.
Yeah, yeah. This has nothing for me.
Yeah.
But it was fun to go back for an nostalgia episode.
Sake. Yeah. Sure.
And see what they do with the new Miss Frizzle that I forget her name is
Kate
voicing.
McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon is voicing, which is pretty fantastic.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
They also have the classic Magic School Bus on Netflix too.
Nice.
Oh, they do. Carlos.
Carlos.
Well, according to my research, it's time to move on to another topic.
I think so. Like. You know what? We're talking about live action things and animated things. So let's get into a debate. What is this new Lion King movie? Live action or animated, guys?
It's animated.
It's animated. I don't care what people say. It is animated.
I agree.
I don't even care that they're photorealistic animals. They are. It is. Everything is computer animated, including the backgrounds.
Yeah. There's no. They didn't truck in any real lions for this movie. So it's not live action.
Yeah. Now, how many live action elements would have to be present before it is considered a live action movie? Like, if they just put in like one human person in the background, would it then be considered live action?
I think it would ruin the movie.
Well, yeah. But
yeah, because then you've got kind of like a live action animation mix, like a
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, that was a better example than what I was thinking. Yeah.
Or the Jungle Book.
That Jungle Book remake,
which wasn't bad.
Also directed by Favreau's doing this one as well.
I am so mad they took out Scar's song.
Well,
I didn't know they did.
They took out Be Prepared,
but there's a lot of Nazi imagery in that.
I understand that they could still do the song without doing that.
That's true.
Well, they could do that if they weren't interested in just tracing over
shot for shot remaking the film
the original
and giving
movie.
Beyonce a song,
because that trailer was just the trailer for
it was
the
opening. It was the opening.
Yeah, that's all it was.
I don't know, man. I'm just like,
I like The Lion King. It's a great movie, but
it's one of my favorites. I love.
Here I am saying the same thing I said about Cowboy Bebop. Why?
I remember seeing Lion King in theaters. Like, my family. And we went like that first weekend, and it was cram packed. The only seats that were available were like the front row. So we were like basically looking straight up
at the screen.
It was the worst, but you know what? We did it because doggone it, that was a good movie.
Man, that sounds like when I went and saw episode 3 opening night.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in the front row, and then when it got into the stupid wire fighting lightsaber fights near the end, the flashes were so bright it gave me a headache.
I read the junior novelization of The Lion King before I saw the movie, so
excellent.
I did a good spoiler on myself before I even saw the movie.
Oh, wow.
I'll watch it, but I think I'll more watch it out of curiosity's sake than actually.
Listen, everything about this movie seems like it should hit and should be really good.
I'm
like
sure it
Donald
will.
Donald Glover.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
Beyonce and yeah. Seth Rogen's definitely going to be Pumbaa, right?
It would be bad casting if he wasn't.
Yeah, they're not going to make him, like, not that character.
Just get ready for him to look like kind of a scary real-life warthog instead of a cuddly cartoon.
they'll cartoon him up just.
They'll probably make his eyes really big and facing more front.
They'll give him weird human eyes.
Oh,
wait,
no,
that's even worse. Sorry, never mind. Abort.
Which, what's the point of making it live action if you have to do this?
I guess just in general, these live action adaptations of
Disney movies is
Pumbaa. I just
can't get excited about it. I don't. It's like Beauty and the Beast. Like,
Beauty and the Beast was
just passable, or was it bad?
Well, yes and no. It added a little bit to like the lore of the movie, of the original animated movie, that I kind of liked. Like, why would there was like a Of course, there's like a castle town that Belle's from that is like near the castle.
Hyrule Castle Town.
Basically, yeah. Why does no one in that town remember anything
their
about
lord?
The lord or anything? It's because that was part of the curse that the townsfolk would forget about the town. And
also, the castle was kind of far away from the town. You had to go through the forest to
get
there.
In this live action thing, it's not. It's a castle town. And they actually tie in the baker from the beginning of the movie. Is Mrs. Potts's husband, who was not in the castle
when
at the time of the curse
happened.
So he forgot about his wife and kid, and she got trapped as
a teapot
and a cup.
Huh.
Yeah, I liked that. Everything else is just not good. Although some of the behind-the-scenes shots of the guy, the live-action actor in, like, the weird harness.
Oh, yeah.
As the Beast.
Yeah, in his mocap suit.
It's ridiculous. Have you seen it?
No.
It's all padded up and bulky.
Oh, yeah. It's so stupid looking.
Oh, yeah. He looks ridiculous. Like, you got, like, her in this, like, you know, this opulent gown, and then you got him in his gray spandex suit.
They seem almost more interested in patching these plot holes of these old movies than they are compelling new movie.
It's a tale as old as time. Look at him in his giant weird calves or his giant weird thighs. Like his like moon boots.
A tale as old as time. Beauty and the CGI stand-in.
I just, these live action adaptations, I mean, I understand why they're doing it, but I'm...
Money.
Money. But like, I'm kind of done with them.
Oh yeah, I was done with them before, like, yeah. By like Jungle Book, which
I
was
like
their second one.
I like cartoons, and I'm fine with things being cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, Lion King's right up your alley then.
Yeah it's true.
All right, so hey, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so
Oliver Zazu.
That's actually pretty good casting.
That is perfect.
I heard Amy Sedaris is being cast as a totally original character, which is cool. I mean, that's fine. We don't have
Sheba, the girl Simba.
That's it. Wait, no, there was already a girl Simba. Though.
Nala.
Yeah,
Nala.
That's Nala. Yeah. So let's talk about these couple of other things real quick. Daredevil was canceled from Netflix.
Bummer.
It's even a bigger bummer because the reason why is they haven't come out and said this, but like Disney's making their own app, their own pay for like monthly subscription app where all their movies and shows and stuff are going to be. And Marvel's part of Disney. So it's pretty clear they're canceling all of their shows on all their other streaming, on all the other streaming apps and things so that they can like relaunch them on their own app. And I think that is absolutely the worst idea.
Oh yeah. Like part of like what made the Daredevil and stuff good was the fact that, yeah, they got the rights from Disney to do it, but it was their own thing.
Well, more than that, almost everybody has a Netflix account.
Exactly.
Almost everybody has Netflix. I mean, it's almost like a utility at this point, basically. If you
it
have
really
the internet,
is.
You
it
basically
really
have Netflix.
Or Hulu, or if not both.
But how many people are going to have paid for any of those like niche third-party like
streaming
apps?
That was the good part about Netflix is that everything was there.
Everything's there. Like, how many people bought CBS All Access for Star Trek Discovery?
Not me.
Who is getting the DC app to watch Gritty Titans and see Robin say the F word?
I actually heard Titans is pretty good.
I've heard it's not bad, but I still am not going to pay for it.
No.
Especially its price point is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was into the idea of a DC app,
mm-hmm.
and that was when I thought it was going to be like $4, $3.
Yeah, yeah, but
no,
it's,
not like, what is it, $70 a year?
Like,
no.
Yeah, it's like $70 a year. That's ridiculous. But no, I think it's a poor move on Disney's decision. I mean, they're still going to make money, but like, they're going to lose viewership. They're going to lose a lot of viewership on this.
Yeah, it's making it more, it's like funneled.
Yes, yes. They're narrowing their audience, and that's ultimately going to come back and bite them.
The appeal of Netflix is that it had a huge variety, and it was cheaper than cable.
Yeah.
But now that everybody wants to have their own Netflix, you're going to be paying for 40 different services, and it's going to end up costing about
as much as cable.
As cable.
Yeah. Like, I'm not paying for cable because I don't want to pay that money. I'm not going to.
I don't want to pay $60 to $90 a month to watch three channels.
Right.
Yeah, that's like me today. I'm going to be canceling my cable today.
All right. So again, not a whole lot of time. Blade Runner anime. That's a thing that's happening.
Didn't they already kind of do one?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Now they're doing another one.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like Blade Runner. I think.
Yeah.
I haven't watched
it, but I heard the prequel one to the 2049 was actually really good.
Yeah. Well, there's like 400 animes that were inspired by Blade Runner.
Oh, sure.
So it only makes sense for it to go back
full
the
circle.
Other way. Yeah.
Yeah. 400 animes and also The Matrix.
Yeah.
Which is in itself kind of an anime.
Yeah.
God, that it is the original live action anime.
It kind of really is, isn't it?
I'll take Blade Runner any way I can get it. That's
fine.
Oh,
sure. Yeah. I mean, there's way more to be told in that universe.
I love it.
I think.
Man, I miss Almost Human.
Oh, God. Yes. That it was such a good show.
I know.
Gone before its time. They
definitely.
They didn't even let the whole season like wrap up. Like,
no.
Satisfactorily.
Man, they foxed that almost as hard as they did Firefly. If not harder. I'm serious. It ends on such a stupid cliffhanger. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Like Last Man on Earth.
They just introduced John Larroquette, and now he's gone.
Exactly.
Anyway,
so good.
Anyway, last thing. So Bethesda is having some troubles.
What else is new?
They're having the troubles.
We could do a whole show on Fallout 76.
We could do a whole podcast on just Bethesda's everything.
Oh, Todd.
They seem like they've run out of goodwill.
Yeah.
They coasted on Skyrim too long,
mm-hmm.
and now people have suddenly realized, hey, they've kind of been putting one over on us for a long time.
It was fun to point out the bugs and the jankiness for a while, but that fun is gone now.
Yeah, we're now how many years away from Skyrim, and they're still making the same game.
Basically, and the news thing here is...
the same bugs.
Yeah.
The news thing here is there's going to be an Elder Scrolls mobile game that is...
Called Elder Scrolls Blades.
Yes. That's the super generic name of it. And it's being backburnered. Like,
yeah, they're delaying it till next year. It was supposed to come out in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been delayed till next year
and
sometime.
They're delaying it because they're working out the bugs of Fallout 76.
They didn't say why,
but that's what it is.
It's either because it's all hands on deck on 76, or it's because they went, oh no, we can't release another product that is this buggy,
mm-hmm.
so we better buckle down and make sure this isn't really terrible, or we're going to lose any goodwill we have left.
I would feel another element in that decision-making was the horrible reaction that Blizzard got to their Diablo mobile game.
That might be part of it as well.
They were at least smart enough to announce another mainline series game is coming when they announced their mobile game.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
That's all Blizzard would have had to have done and people would have been fine.
They wouldn't have cared.
It would have just been a passed over.
Yeah. You know, the only positive thing I can say about this Elder Scrolls mobile game is it can't run on the same engine as Skyrim and like...
Oh, you'd be surprised. I don't think there's a reason why Gamebryo couldn't run on the phone.
Oh, really?
It runs on the Switch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Then it could run on the phone. You're right. Basically. All right.
They really did ride like Skyrim to its death, didn't
they?
They are
still putting out Skyrim games at full price.
Oh, I know. Skyrim VR just came out.
Yeah, people have kind of like gotten wise to their tricks finally. Mm-hmm. I think.
It's like, hey, remember when Bethesda used to make different games? Now they're just the Skyrim company.
Skyrim, yeah. And Fallout.
Well, since Oblivion, it's been the same thing.
It's medieval game and like post-apocalyptic game, but it's the same thing.
And they're coming out with space games soon.
Space game, yeah.
But it's going to be the same thing.
Space Skyrim.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if they tried to put like maybe a vehicle or a ladder?
No, it'll be a dragon, but it'll be a giant robot dragon.
Yeah. It'll move just like
Alduin.
All these games since Oblivion, and they haven't mastered the ladder.
Yeah,
or just walking animations.
Yeah. Oh yeah, their NPCs have looked like garbage mm-hmm. since
forever.
Yeah.
Like when they walk through a room and they just push all the tables and chairs out of the way.
Which, that's when they said Fallout 76 wasn't going to have any NPCs. I'm like, okay, because your NPCs are bad.
All right, well, hey, we could, like we mentioned, we could do an entire show on bashing Bethesda and their lackluster games.
I like Bethesda's games, fine.
But they're janky.
They stopped trying.
They stopped trying.
That's the problem.
Anyway, we could talk about that, but we've hit time for the week.
Yay!
So we should go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Hey, do you like social media? I mean, we all do. We all have it.
We have no choice. It's how society works.
We are on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and if you like pictures, that sweet, sweet Instagram's at Nerd Overload Now.
Oh, we have an email, staff@nerdoverload.com. Email us with any comments or questions about the show.
Yes, Sam.
Or topic.
Do the Sam thing.
I'm doing the Sam thing.
We have Sam to replace the Sam.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it on the show if you send us an email. I mean, we can do that. We've done it before. We'll do it again.
Sure. I mean, no one's stopping us.
Yeah, subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it, Nerd Overload TV.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff there.
There's stuff there. There's going to be more stuff there. We're working on it. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and just about anywhere else you can find a podcast, you can find our show.
No excuses.
No excuses. And, hey, we like t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
They cover our bodies.
Buy a shirt, buy a sticker, buy a mug. They're great gifts.
They're great gifts for the holiday season.
Yeah. You missed our Black Friday sale. That was a thing.
But it's still kind of going on.
Is it?
They're always running sales.
It? Yeah.
Yeah, TeePublic's always running sales. Just, if it's not on sale, give it a week.
But definitely buy one.
But definitely get one because
it supports the show.
It does. And we put a lot of work into it.
And they're good shirts.
Well, Sam put a lot of work into
it. They're good shirts, bro.
I wear them a lot. Like, for real.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, thanks again for tuning in. And we will be back next week.
Peace out.